puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. One person who doesn't get a break, even if it's a long weekend, is Gordon Goldsborough. He's here with his abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja. No, I don't need a break. I love doing this.
And we love having you. Remind us of the clue from last week.
I said we were going to talk about an inconspicuous little shack north of Portage-la-Prairie that was the home of a child who died far from home. And what I was referring to was a small building at Delta Beach on the south shore of Lake Manitoba that's called the Skylark. And it was once the home to a fellow named Tom Naylor.
Can you tell us about the name of the home? Why was it called the Skylark?
Well, it was a common practice in the early 20th century here in Manitoba to give one's home a name. Quite a few of the homes around Winnipeg, for instance, had names. And now, I don't know why Tom Naylor called his the Skylark. A skylark is a European bird species that's known for its prolonged song and flight. I can only assume that Naylor recalled skylarks from his youth in England.
So your clue at the beginning said that the Skylark was the home of a child. So is this Tom Naylor the child we're talking about?
Well, yeah, but when he lived in the Skylark, Tom Naylor was actually a fully grown man, but he was what was called a home child.
Okay, so we've talked about home children on the show before in the past. Can you remind our listeners, though, about home children?
Well, they were British children who were either orphans or whose parents were unable, for various reasons, poverty or infirmity, to care for them. So from the 1870s into the 1940s, over 100,000 of these children were sent by some 50 charitable or philanthropic organizations to Canada. And the idea was that these children were going to find a new home with families here. Now, I know this sounds very nice, but in many cases, they were treated by those families not as children to be loved and cherished, but as cheap workers. Boys, for example, became farm laborers. Girls became mother's helpers. You know, some were abused physically and mentally, and they bore lifelong psychological scars.
And some of those home children came to Manitoba, right?
Right. Of course, we did have a very active agricultural industry. We needed labor for that. So in 1888, a facility called the Barnardo Industrial Farm was established near Russell, Manitoba. You know, it was a huge farm. It covered over 10,000 acres. And at the farm site itself, they had barns for cattle and poultry. They had a creamery. They had a cheese factory. And they had a three-story residence building that housed up to 100 boys. Well, it operated from the 1880s right up till 1907, when the organization that ran the farm changed its policy so that after that point, boys were sent to individual farms. But over its 19 years in operation, over 800 boys lived at that farm. Now, nothing is left at that site today. If you go to have a look at it, there is a commemorative monument there that tells you a little bit about the Barnardo farm. And then a little ways away, there is a cemetery where four boys who died while working at the farm were buried.
What was Tom Naylor's story?
Well, Tom was born in London, England in 1900, and he was the second in a family of three children. I suspected he didn't know very much about his parents because at a fairly early age, he and his siblings were sent to a home for needy children. In 1910, when he was just 10 years old, he and his 9-year-old sister, Daisy, were shipped off to Canada. And he was joining his 13-year-old brother, George, who had gone the year before. Now, when they arrived in Canada, Tom and Daisy boarded a train for Stratford, Ontario. And there, they boarded with a farm family. And of course, both were put to work on the farm. In 1915, when Tom was just 15 years old, he lied about his age to enlist in the army. And he actually joined his brother George in the Canadian Army, and they went overseas. Of course, the First World War was raging, and both of them served in the war, and they probably saw pretty atrocious conditions in the trenches of Europe.
Were the brothers injured at all during their military service?
Well, luckily, as near as I can tell, both boys came back to Canada largely unscathed. Well, of course, by that time, he was now officially an adult. So he didn't go back to the farm in Stratford, but instead, he headed west with George, and in the early 1920s, they ended up at Delta Beach, where each of them built a little shack for himself, and of course, Tom's being the Skylark.
Can you describe what the Skylark looked like or looks like?
Well, yeah, it is still standing today, and it was a small wooden building sitting off the ground on some posts, not more than about 15 feet square. So a very small building, just a single room inside, and it had a bed, it had a small table, it had one window, it had a wood stove, and that wood stove provided heat in the wintertime and a means for Tom to cook his meals. Now, people I've spoken with who knew Tom said that he was kind of unlike his brother George. George was a very tidy and natty dresser. Well, in contrast, Tom, he didn't care so much about his appearance. He dressed rather slovenly. And if you looked inside the Skylark, there was usually dirty pots and dishes strewn about the place. George had a small car, a little Plymouth to get around, whereas Tom, he just bummed rides from whoever he could or he took a cab.
How were they able to support themselves?
Both brothers appear to have worked as commercial fishermen on Lake Manitoba during the winter. And during the summer, they worked on local farms, simply providing, you know, help on the farm. Tom made extra money by selling fish that he had caught to the cottage owners at Delta Beach. He'd go door to door selling fish. And occasionally he'd do odd jobs, such as when somebody needed to have their outhouse moved to a different spot, Tom would do the job. Neither brother ever married, you know, so there's no descendants of either brother. But Tom was widely known as being kind and gentle. He had an easy sense of humor, you know, and by all accounts was very well liked in the community. You know, at Halloween, he handed out candy. When local kids had some special occasion, he'd give them a small toy. The local young adults would hang around the Skylark. You know, mostly they would laugh, they'd listen to Tom play the fiddle, and apparently they would also drink beer and, well, somewhat less savory drinks. Tom himself, apparently, was quite prone to drinking liniment. But they looked after Tom as he grew older. You know, they'd bring him groceries and they'd bring him other supplies as he was unable to do it for himself.
Do we know what happened to Tom?
Well, unfortunately, there's a sad end to the story. In August of 1969, while he was walking along Highway 240 south of Delta Beach, Tom was struck by a car and killed. He was buried quietly in the hillside cemetery at Portage la Prairie. And then a few years later, George, too, died and was buried there.
And what happened to the Skylark?
Well, it was never lived in again, but remarkably, it's still standing on its original site after over 50 years. You know, it even survived the catastrophic flood on Lake Manitoba in 2011. I've looked around inside it, and strewn around inside are the remains of Tom's residence. You know, his bed, his table, some miscellaneous pots and pans. You know, I suspect that many of the Delta Beach cottagers today have no memory of Tom Naylor and, you know, his melancholy story of being sort of an unloved home child who died far from his home in England.
Given all the kind of research you did about him, what was it like being in the Skylark and seeing all of that?
Well, you know, that's the thing. If you just looked at this little building, you'd think really nothing of it. It's old, it's kind of decrepit, you know, and when I learned about who Tom was, it really made it personal. And so now every time I go by that building, there's a little bit of sadness, you know, that this was the home of a man who could have been a lot more. And it's just too bad that his life was snatched away from him by being ripped away from his parents and brought here to Canada.
Gordon, thank you for that story.
You're welcome, Nadja.
What's the clue for next week?
Well, a grotto is a man-made structure that kind of looks like a cave, and it can take a number of forms. So, for example, an underground running track that used to exist at the University of Manitoba was called the Gritty Grotto. Well, next week, we're going to consider another grotto that stands abandoned overlooking Lake Winnipeg.
Gordon, thank you, and enjoy your long weekend.
Thanks, Nadja. Talk to you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.